The text is the gospel lesson read earlier, especially these surprising words. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. In the name of Jesus. Easter is such a joyful time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
40 days of fasting are over. 50 days of feasting have begun. If you gave up chocolate for Lent, take 2 bites out of that chocolate Easter bunny. People are all dressed up. Churches are stunning. Hymns are uplifting. I actually counted there are 47 appearances of the word joy or its equivalent in the Easter hymns and the hymn book. Easter baskets are brimming. Easter egg hunts are ongoing. And dark chocolate Easter bunnies, almost heaven. So what's with Mark? Not this Mark, the Gospel Mark. Easter is supposed to be about a happy ending because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
They told no one. They were afraid. Not very missional. Not very nice. What kind of Easter is that? I mean, later copyists of the gospel were so stunned that they added things to the gospel. One copyist added a version from John of the appearance of Mary Magdalene. Another took from Luke a bit of the story about the appearance of the two on the road to Emmaus. And then somebody did something really weird and took something from Matthew about the Great Commission, but included demons and speaking in tongues and serpents and deadly poison. What's with Mark? Easter's supposed to be nice and cuddly and sweet. Chad, could I have a jelly bean, please? Today, we want to discover that Mark's story is actually quite encouraging because the risen Jesus meets folks where they are. And the risen Jesus nudges folks from where they are to where God would have them be. Part one, the story in Mark. I'm going to start with another story about the last congregation I served some 30 years ago. I remember my start there. It's kind of rough. Small town in Iowa. But after about a year, I was starting to get to know them, and I discovered they were true Lutherans because everybody sat in exactly the same place every Sunday. It's amazing. I mean, some of you are sort of close to that, but not like that. So I developed this practice of going to church very early on Sunday morning, before first light. And I would walk around the church and sit in the church, and now, who's sitting there? Oh, yeah, Marge. A couple months ago, she lost her husband of 49 years and 11 months. Oh, and over there's Chuck. He gave up farming a few years ago and is not doing real well living in town right now. Oh, and that's where Jim and Joan, and they got a baby on the way, and it's their first, and he's so excited, he has totally redone the room, and there's more stuff in there than there'll be room for the baby. I don't know how that's going to work out. I came to understand where they were at, because everyone was in a different place. And because of that exercise, I learned how to more effectively bring the gospel to speak to their life circumstances. Something like that is happening in Mark. Mark records the preaching of Peter about the time of his death. Peter lost his life during the persecution of Nero after the fire in Rome. And Mark wrote this gospel to those traumatized folks. He met them where they were, gave expression to their legitimate fears and hesitancy, and yet the message of Easter ran clearly. Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. That was the message of the young man in the tomb. And it's the final word in the gospel. Even the violence and terror did not change the fact that Christ is risen. In the midst of their fears, in the midst of our fears, in the midst of legitimate fears, there is the light of hope. Part two, the risen Jesus meets folks where they are. In each of the Gospels, the message of Easter and even the appearance of Jesus meets folks where they are. In Matthew's gospel, the women went to the tomb, and there was a great earthquake. A fearsome angel, appearance like lightning, clothes bright as snow, rolls back the stone, perches upon it. The guards are like dead men, and the women are scared to death. Don't be afraid. He's not here. Go to Galilee. You'll see him there. And they departed with fear and joy. And then Jesus meets them. What's the first word out of his mouth? Don't be afraid. Now, the disciples were nowhere to be seen until they met Jesus in Galilee. Some of them believed, some of them doubted. And yet Jesus said, "Go make disciples of all nations. I am with you always." Frightened women, absent disciples, some still doubting, Jesus meets them where they are because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Luke starts in the same place. But this time, when the women report to the disciples about what they found, the disciples think, "Oh, it's an idle tale. Sounds like guys, doesn't it? On the road." That was a cheap shot. I won't use that in the second service. Then Jesus is on the road to Emmaus. Two unknown disciples are walking along. Jesus joins them. They don't recognize Jesus. And he asks them, "What are you talking about?" And one of them turns to Jesus and said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what happened these days?" I think that's kind of funny because Jesus is the only person in Jerusalem who actually knows what happened these days. But he plays dumb. "What things?" "Oh, about Jesus of Nazareth. We thought he was the one." And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained the things about himself to them, and they still didn't recognize him until they sat at table that evening and he broke bread. And then they saw him. So they race back to Jerusalem, and while they're reporting, I missed a slide, sorry. Jesus appears. "Peace be with you. Why are you so frightened? Touch me, see." And starting with Moses and the prophets again, twice in one day, he opened their minds. "You are witnesses," he says. "I'm sending you. Christ is risen. And then we go to John's gospel. Peter and the beloved disciple and the foot race to the tomb. They saw and believed but didn't understand. Mary, she's weeping at the tomb. And all she can say to two angels in the tomb is, "If you've taken away his body, tell me where he is so that I can take him away." And when Jesus calls her by name, she finally recognizes him and locks onto him. And he sends her to the disciples. And then there's Thomas, but that's next week's sermon, so we'll wait on that one. How different the characters! Yet Christ is risen.
He is risen.
In each of the four Gospels, in the resurrection story, the messages and the appearances speak to different people in different circumstances, of those who followed Jesus and of those who read the Gospels, with a message of hope specifically for their circumstances, because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The message of the resurrection meets people where they are. And the same is true for each of you in your life. As in the pews of that Iowa church, so here today, each of you is in a different seat and likely in a different life situation and a different place in your relationship with God. For some of you, there is much joy because you know the comfort of the gospel. Others of you are cautious, not quite certain about all this church stuff. Some of you may be wary about what folks may be up to or confused by some of the complications of theology. Some of you may feel guilty because something has overmastered you. And some of you may be grieving because you miss someone dear. The risen Christ does not judge you. The risen Christ comes alongside of you. The risen Christ meets you where you are, whether you're frightened like the women or disbelieving like the disciples or confused like those at Emmaus or grieving like Mary or doubting like Thomas. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
For you, where you are, right now. And the risen Jesus nudges folks along. In Matthew, the women to the disciples to Galilee, and from there to make disciples of all nations. In Luke, at Emmaus, their hearts burned with them, and in Jerusalem, Jesus opened their minds, promised the Spirit, "You will be clothed with power from on high, and you will be my witnesses." And in John, Jesus calls Mary by name, sends her to the disciples, and in the upper room behind locked doors, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you." In each gospel, the risen Jesus meets folks where they are and nudges them in a new direction. And that direction, notably, is toward mission. Matthew, make disciples. Luke, you will be my witnesses. John, I am sending you. So what about Mark? They told no one because they were afraid. Where's the nudge? Well, it's there. It's just a little more subtle. Earlier in the gospel, a character who was given the title a young man was a sign of the failure of the disciples. After they forsook Jesus and flee, he was the last one to get away, and he ran away naked to their shame. Whoops, the angel in the tomb who announces the resurrection is called a young man. And that's the nudge. That those frightened women, those traumatized folks at Rome, would eventually bear the gospel. And in 300 years, Christianity will have spread so thoroughly throughout the Roman world that Rome adopted Christianity as its own. Meeting the risen Jesus always involves a nudge. Jesus comes to you wherever you may be, but he doesn't leave you where you are. Remember the words of Jesus, "Lo, I am with you always." He walks with you through the trials you are facing in life because Christ is risen. He stays with you as long as it takes because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He sets aside the past, remembering your sins no more because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He gives you the Spirit, the gift of faith, faith for your future because Christ is risen. And like those first followers at that first Easter, he gives you opportunity upon opportunity to be his witness, to share his love, to proclaim with your life and sometimes even with words that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The resurrection changes everything, even and especially for you. Takeaways. Well, you know the first one.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And where you are is where he chooses to be for you. And what is next is the direction he nudges you toward eternity. It is a joyful Eastertide. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.